committees, but I've been requested by the chair of the committee, Eric Colwani, to start. We agreed yesterday that we would start at 15:15 and allow the group chief executive officer and her team to complete the responses that are outstanding from last night. I trust you all had a good rest and are ready to go this morning. Please excuse my voice. I'm recovering from a bit of flu as well. Just to indicate that the apologies that we had given out yesterday for the Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Tsebe, Honourable Mutambi, Honourable Kikana, and Honourable Ntlazi remain. In fact, I believe the Honourable Ntlazi is going into hospital this morning. I spoke to her on my way here. So, I'm not sure if we have any word on the DG. We will get somebody from the Minister's office to check up so that we can also inform the committee. But if I can hand over there without any ado to the SABC, Group Chief Executive Officer, if you could continue and delegate those who need to respond. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the House. I believe probably the questions that we do not respond to in any detail have to do with Arthur's Siemens matter. It's actually quite difficult to be able to respond succinctly when one is unable to find out who had actually sent the question and what their agenda is. The difficulty with this matter is that a lot of people had interest in it, and in some instances it would seem the interest went beyond normal ethical practice. And so our decision, which was ratified by the board, to not proceed with adults has resulted in a lot of anger among those that we now are beginning to believe that had an ethical interest in the matter. The bottom line is that when adults did their due diligence of their company to find out what it is that was required to do, they came out with four folders of information. And when we went through each one of them meticulously, we discovered that for the price that they were asking for, as a matter of fact, the bulk of that work had already been done, which suggested to us that, in fact, they probably didn't even walk through SABC to go and see what was there and what was not there. The total value of, in terms of their rent calculation of the work that still needed to be done, was around, was it 500,000? Sorry, 500 million rent. And in actual fact, if you will recall the slides that we put up yesterday, the remaining work that still needs to be done is just over 100 million. And it is work that goes, it's actually located in the post-installation aspects of the work that Siemens did. Now, I'm really worried about that. I mean, one of the statements that seem to have been made is that we do not have the skills inside the SABC to do the work that ATOS would have done. The fact of the matter is I'm surrounded by men here who have been with the organization for 10 years plus and have unbelievable skills sitting amongst themselves. Well, I'm talking about ones that are here with me, Ma. They have incredible skills. They have completed the work that Siemens could not complete. And the reason now that we are operating off our digital desks is because of these very men and women who have made sure that we complete and we are at a stage where we are able to broadcast a digital signal All we need is the platform, the digital platform, which will be DTT, and the people will see a much better picture. So it is a bit frustrating on our part that we have people who have such self-interest that they're actually misusing this house to drive their agenda. Now, to attest to the fact that Atos actually has no claim, they then attempted to force the hand of our authorities and government in forcing us to proceed with an agreement that was virtually non-existent. And I wrote a letter giving full details as to this matter. And at the time when I did that, I also made it very clear to our authorities that there is, in fact, no further work for Atos to do. And if we did enter into any contract with Atos at this stage, I know for sure I would land in jail because I would, in fact, be leading the organization into a massive fruitless and waste expenditure, totally unnecessary because the work has been done. And I know it may be a difficult thing to do, but I would really like the members of Parliament to have that information and the names of the individuals concerned to please pass it on to me. Because I, too, being the CEO, and I want to make this promise that I will not abuse that information. But as the CEO, I think it is my responsibility to actually find out from those individuals what the root cause of their assertions is. So that if indeed there are gaps, the best way to address these gaps is through proper dialogue. Let me understand what is going wrong. And if they can point me to those areas that are going wrong, then I will know how to deal with it. But at this rate, it's an untenable situation because we are then thrown backwards because we are moving forwards. We have done the work. We are very certain of it. News is broadcasting out of those studios. Morning Live is doing that. There are only bits of work that are still left. It is the digital library that we're still having to conclude. There are a few production studios inside Henley that we are busy working on. And we certainly have not bought Hitachi equipment at all. There is no such equipment in the building. It has not been delivered. It has not been procured. It is simply not there. And when people make statements like that and they literally lie about what is in those buildings at Auckland Park, it's even more disconcerting. So I think, Chair, just to close this matter off, I would really request that we be finished with the full detail. For the file, there is indeed a file that was passed on to members. Let us see that file so that we can begin to address the matters one by one. And if at the time of concluding the reading, we are very certain about the truthfulness or lack thereof, or if there are still gaps, then we will do a formal letter to the House explaining what has happened.
Chairperson, just for you to say, I think that's all the questions that were asked yesterday, but of course, if there are follow-ups, we'll be ready to engage the follow-up.
Is there anything else that, any outstanding questions that you needed to respond to from yesterday?
Okay. All right.
I'll take the Honourable Neva Drukhan, I'll take the Honourable Shin, and I'll take the Honourable Mastori.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want to remind the SABC about my question, the consumer contact, and then also the consumer messages. Because I can't recall if that was answered. How are you going to inform your audiences or the consumers on the digital migration? And then the consumer messages, it seems that Sapa is also doing Are you working then with SAPA to then inform the consumers, or are you taking sole responsibility for that? Thank you.
Honourable Shin.
Thank you. To refer back to the ATOS issue, these allegations of self-interest, vested interests, inappropriate, unethical interests, have they been proven? Are they just corridor subtler? And if so, what steps have been taken? I'm wanting to know whether on September the 30th, ATOS signed the cessation agreement. Position agreement with you, and also if you can let us know whether there are any legal action pending from ATOS against the SABC for the way that this contract has been handled. Thank you.
Honourable Mastori.
I want to apologise that I had my hand up because I was quite disorientated by the question and text. My colleague told me that I have gone out when this question was asked yesterday. I'm fine.
Group here.
Thank you, Chair. I will just speak to the consumer and digital migration on consumer information on digital migration. I will request my colleague in the board, Ms. Simtimde, to attempt to respond to the rest of the questions on others because I was not here. The September 30th signing was in 2011 and I was not part of group, although I am informed about it, but I think it would be better placed to talk to us. The consumer education, we have been collaborating very closely with the DOC, and in fact the initial awareness campaign that was launched, we were party to it, we ran the information on our platform, and as it is, we are running a program called Nation at Work, which devoted, I think, 4 episodes of the program to this whole digital migration matter. And the SABC, at the time when we are very clear about when the switch on is going to happen, we will most certainly go out on a very, very strong campaign to make audiences aware. And the campaign will go to from technical, which is the kind of information that we'll receive from our technical partners, down to programming, because we will have to advertise how people can access programming, what they can do with the user interface, et cetera, and how many platforms are going to go live and what the content is going to be. Now, based on my presentation of yesterday, the content advertising is well known, and if indeed we're going to start with the 3 channels that already exist, that problem is already dealt with from the current business process that we are in. But when we go into digital, then doing education programs on how to switch on, how to find the program, how to even going to the fact of how to tune your set, we will do those kinds of things. And if I may, Chair, I will pass on to, okay. Can I pass on to Ms. Mtinde to deal with other matters?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking the chair who has departed.
The chair will always be in this seat. Now you can proceed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair President. Honourable Member Sheen, indeed there was an agreement signed in September 30th, which expired. And as we speak, there is no contractual obligation between ourselves and ATOS. And arising out of that agreement was the due diligence report that was presented to us by ATOS, which the CEO has spoken to what then transpired, quote, that which meant thereof that we could not continue the relationship. In terms of the question of self-interest and proving those thereof, I think what you're referring to is in the process of engaging on this matter, there tended to be questions that goes to to that question, whether there is self-interest or ethical questions. And of course, those remained questions at that stage, and to the extent that the process proceeds and information is available, we will be able to come to a determination of some sort if that is necessary. To whether there is legal action, I think the simple answer is there has been correspondence to and fro between ourselves and ATLAS. And at this stage, as we sit here, there is no case opened by ATLAS or ourselves against each other. The question of the correspondence appearing, the merit of the decision not to proceed, is a question that we've answered through to them and provided them with the information line. And that's where, as far as we stand, things end. Our focus is to get ready, and as the CEO has indicated, we are to a large degree ready, and the challenges that we do face are the challenges that we spoke to, which are the uncertainties regulatory-wise and financially. And to that extent, I think the members' input and comments yesterday that talked to the core of those challenges, in particular the financial one, that is a matter that together, ourselves, yourselves, the ministry need to work together in that regard, because indeed, with the very progressive vision that our country has and invested thereof in terms of infrastructure, we need to take the priorities of a knowledge and information economy that are like the DTT, the broadband, as priorities that will assist in bringing content so that you can therefore have your infrastructure but also have content in order to sustain our democracy. We agree there, and I think working together we will be able to perhaps make a case that will be acceptable to National Treasury so we can get enough funding to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any follow-up question? Rob can say, but probably before I take the members, I've been briefed by the chair who was here, that the group CEO raised an issue about people misusing or abusing the committee or members about information and so on. Let me start by saying, just probably members, they don't remember or they were not here. Actually, it was this committee which instructed SABC to deal the contract of to start with. If you go to record, it was this committee when was the presentation, then we instructed them that to go and delete that move at all because we don't understand the contract in the first instance. Why do we have to enter into that contract in the first instance? I think all the whatever followed there from that meeting was as a result of the committee. Having engaged, I'm sure we were presenting a strategic plan or annual report where the issue of ATO came in and said, but is 500 million or so, what exactly is for and so on, because we are under financial difficulty. At that point, the matter of couple with the issue of Deloitte and Truth and Truth on other issues. Now, I'm just want to raise that so that the members just remember that we instructed you to go and deal with all unnecessary contracts which were running in the SAPC and bring them out so that contracts continue to run in the SAPC, our contracts are relevant and there's a need for them to do that and so on. I just wanted to raise this one point. The other thing is that normally when members saw this, they normally forward information, whatever they had, to my office, and then we start responses to the relevant bodies and so on. But you cannot stop members also to raise the issues direct from the committee, because it is their right to do so. But it depends which way they choose. If they bring it to me, I will bring it to you, then you must respond, then the members will be informed that way. But accordingly, there's little you can do for them to raise up the issues and so on. But all what we try to strive for most of the time is that whatever we do is that it will not go to the credibility of the institution and the other things and so on. But it's a very difficult balancing act around this particular matter. I just wanted to raise that so that it's the nature of how things happen. There will always never be raised. it's the nature of things.
Thank you, Chairperson. I realize that there's obviously a difference in terms of shareholding between ETV and the SABC. I was wondering if the SABC would care to comment whether they in fact share the concerns of ETV with regard to the control of STBs. Thank you.
Rocket.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want the Group CEO and the DLC to notice. I'm really pleased that you mentioned the Nation Network program. Since that program has commenced on the TV, I've SMSed the chairperson of this committee that the Nation Network is not accessible to me. Three programs that have been broadcasted already has not been accessible to me. And that's been my... I just want to notify you and ask that those programs need to be accessible, especially about this Nation Network, because it's a good program, and I really want to watch it. I've been informing the chairperson for the last couple of 3 weeks that this program has not been accessible to us.
You must tell them what you inform me at 2 in the morning.
Inform at night.
Another thing, Honourable Brogan, you may respond to the two questions. I think the issue of the nation at work is the issue that which nation you want to address about that program is the other part of the nation cannot access to it. I think that's the basic question. Which nation exactly is the nation at work about, but other segments of the population cannot be access to that program because they are partly or the sign language and the other things. I think that's the question. In essence.
Can respond? Thanks, Chairperson. I'll deal with Honourable Stain's question and then the CTO will deal with Honourable Rochen's question. Honourable Stain, we neither an applicant nor a respondent.
I'm not sure what's happening, but someone is busy doing it. Otherwise, I'm afraid they can end up occupying me. Honourable Rochen.
And I'm apologetic, maybe you think that I'm using my age. But don't think. You know, I might be a wrong person. I need you to correct me. I thought we are dealing with issues that relate to digital migration. But having listened to the question, I think we are just going over Balcom as if we are dealing with a strategic plan or something. As a chairperson, maybe I thought that you would really direct the meeting to talk to what is on the agenda. That's my concern.
Thank you. Quick response to the two issues. You see the issue raised by Honourable Prohan. It's a matter which we have been discussing with your son for a long time. Now you've got a deaf community. We are trying to follow a program nation at work, but they can't because there are no enabling features to make them follow that particular program. Probably you might not have to respond. But it's a matter matter with that has to happen. I think simple as that, that has to happen. If it's a program of nation at work, all the nations must be able to access that program. And unless the nation is a separation of other. So I think, I don't think that we'll be able to explain that. So don't even try to explain that. Probably answer the other question that told us the nation at work and really become a nation, national program.
Thanks, Justin. Answering the short answer is we need an applicant or no respondent to the matter referring to. As we indicated in our presentation, we are part of the project map that we showed, and we are engaging with all the parties in ensuring that all challenges facing the project TTT are resolved, and therefore to the best interest of all parties. And that's the generic response that one can give. Because that's the matter I'm referring to is the matter that is in the case between the ETV and the OC and Semtech. And we need a rational response. Thank you.
Just to follow up, it wasn't actually my question about whether you were part of the respondents or not. It was simply, and I can understand if you don't want to answer the question, but it is simply a question about whether you share the concerns in terms of the current situation with the proposal. Now, you may choose because of your particular being a public broadcaster not to answer, but then I think just say that you're not, you would rather not answer, rather than give me a diplomatic answer. Now, Chair, if I may just make one other comment, not related to
that. Sounds like a diplomatic.
A diplomatic answer. If I may just make one other comment, Chair, related to an answer that was given yesterday, and it's the sort of thing that concerns me, that the group CEO indicated that they initially required 150 million rand for the news channel. When that was refused, it was obviously a second or a third look was given to it, and you ended up making do with 20 million rand. That's what it's going to cost you. So effectively, if Treasury had agreed initially, the implication is that we could have had an unnecessary expenditure or inefficient expenditure of 130 million rand. That is effectively what based on your answer, because you could have done it with 20 million, yet your original budget was 150. In light of that, I want to put it to you, and looking at the budget that you tabled yesterday, that you need going forward, that you need to look through the same lenses that you used when you reviewed your news channel and see what you can actually get by with to make it possible. Thank you, Chair.
I don't respond, Group CEO. You will respond after this. Members who have just requested, you will indicate his name. There are guests here who are interested about a chair behind me. So I just requested him to come and explain about it for 3 minutes or so, and then we'll proceed to the response. Over to you, Bob.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Kenneth Bangi. I'm from the Public Education Office, and I'm one of the officials responsible for taking people around Parliament and explaining one or two things. But as the chairperson requested me to explain briefly, the chair behind was used by the speakers of our Parliament in the past. And I'm sure you recall this was the main house back in the day. But now there's the C4 just used as a committee room. So the previous speakers, they said there, I would say, from 1910 up to 1987. When we still had the tricolor parliament. And right where I'm seated, this chair was once occupied by the prime minister of the country, amongst them Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. So for those of you who know the story, this is where Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd was killed from. I'm sure you know the story took place sometime in 1966, when he was killed in parliament by a messenger, Tsarendas Dimitri. This is where he was killed. He was the prime minister, you recall, and the state president will occupy this one. So at times there's confusion that he was set here or here. Yes, the prime minister is here, and the state president will sit here. And this is where he was led by Tsavendas when he was stepped on the 6th of September, 1966.
you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hold our own. Good to see you all.
The funding that I was talking to was the additional funding. The original amount was related to doing fresh news throughout the block. Throughout. So when we say 24-hour news, we meant literally fresh news throughout the block. Now, the reworked number allows for looping of news. We don't want to do it because then it ceases to be news, but it allows for looping of news. So the first 12 hours during the performance period up to midnight would be fresh, and then thereafter there would be looping. And also it includes utilizing archive content. So instead of just doing straight news and current affairs, we would also put documentaries. So it's mining the archive content. However, if we went back to the original plan of fresh news throughout the clock, then it takes us right back to that number that we originally had.
Thanks. And then on the matter on abstained, I answered your question. The answer is the project map we projected, it depicts all the role players in the value chain. And when we have concerns, we raise them as part of the team and we discuss them. We even met before coming here to talk about the possibility of having a turn-down agreement on all our commitments and roles and responsibilities across the value chain. So that's the answer. And to the extent that we have concerns, we raise them at those meetings and resolve them. Thank you.
I'll help you, Honorable Stein. No, they don't share the same views with EDV. Centec, are you ready to set up?
It's on.
I was waiting for the gentleman in front of me to finish talking. Chair. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I can't. Chair. No, and it's so close to me, so I'm hearing him instead of listening to what he's saying. Yeah, Chair, no, thank you for the opportunity. The Shadow Chair, one was still on the chair, he raised a matter of the DG, and he requested someone, I didn't tell you whoever doesn't matter, whoever was on the chair, you, the Shadow Chair, the actual chair, okay. The actual chair raised a matter in terms of checking whether the DG, is he going to come, or we couldn't communicate with her because the technology didn't allow us. And would like, personally, I would like to get the progress on that before we deal with the center chair.
Probably just to be short. She might not be coming. She might not be coming.
No, thanks so much for the response, Chair. I think in another forum of the committee sitting, then we need to deal with that next because it's a serious, it does have a serious connotation. Thank you.
Thank you. Sunset. You've got 20 minutes to present, and you must give us sufficient time to ask the question. Welcome, Chairperson, and the CEO, and the other members.
Dr. Masin, I'm trying to track with Parliament to get some, you know, some of your speeches, your terminology. So
probably will win on that score. So over to you, Chairperson, to you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Our delegation comprised of non-executive directors and executives and managers. I would be introducing the non-executive directors. Behind us here we have Mr. Joe Mdwaha. And next to him is Mr. Dlamini, Mr. Peris Mashile, Ms. Leah Kumalo, Ms. Vanele Shachi. Well, the Suntech thanks the Honorable Committee. Suntech.
I'm not sent up to see you. The one who calls for asylum.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. If you notice, we don't separate. Thank you very much. So, well, Suntech thanks the Honorable Portfolio Committee on Communications for the opportunity to present Companies Readiness on the ETT broadcast services. Our last appearance was in September 2011, and I must say that we have made significant progress since then, and our presentation will be focusing on from then to now and the way forward. And I would, without any waste of time, hand over to the CEO to progress on the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Resoma, what I want to ask before presenting, okay,
in fact. No, Chair, I'm expiring CEO for sentence. No, Chair, one would laugh. I've got two documents. I've got this one, which is black and white, and this one, which we have just been given. If we can be told that there's no difference or there's a difference between the two, probably we need them to be using technology so that we don't waste papers if there's identical documents. Thank you, Chair. That's all I wanted to know.
No, those are not the same document. The one is in color, the one is in black and white. They are not the same document. The other one is in color, the other one is black and white, but the content is the same. Mruto? I've asked them that these honorable members, they take exception to black and white document. They will give them the color so that they will see the colorful maps and the other things. But the black and white one does not show the colors in terms of the maps and so on. So unless they decide to add other things in that
process.
But as far as I'm concerned, the indication was the colorful document they are presenting, but it's black and white, it got some difficulty to follow the color in black and white and so on. But the CEO, I can't carry on, Chala Akoba. What have you done to the document?
Honorable Chair, honorable members, the document should be the same, except for the color.
Thank you, Chair. Could we also, can I present our interpretive on this side? That we are more interested in terms of the content, which is the writing, Chair. Because the presentation is digital, we can see on the screen terms of the colorful, fancy, blah, that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable. So it's my body for technology mentality. CEO.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'd just like to introduce other members of management that are with us. Mr. Atotoko, Jolene Tembo, CEO Hanki Matabane, Monde Ndelene, Nate Adams, and Stella Hente. we regularly like to bring some of our managers to Parliament to understand how the system works. So today the the management team is slightly bigger. Thank you, Chair. As the President says, we are going to provide some updates on where we, what he said, where we said we were last time we were in Parliament, just noting also that there are certain areas of concern that I think we already covered yesterday. And the updates on those have also been provided. We have offered to the Department of Communications additional assistance, particularly to the project office, to assist the project office with the coordination of the management that they are doing. We are managing the project against the map that was also shown by the department, where we all understand that the map represents the different discrete activities that are undertaken by different entities. And all of those are driven by the policy stated by the DDG yesterday. This is a policy-driven initiative. And we show that this map essentially shows how, in terms of time and also in terms of dependencies, the different entities are involved. I'm specifically showing that the way CENTEC is directly involved is in the building of the transmission network, where the content feed and also the specification of what is provided by the transmitter network is largely from the broadcasters, but also largely from the regulations, from ICASA and also the frequency from ICASA. As has been stated, CENTEC has also been asked by the Minister to assume responsibility for set-top box control. And a lot of information, and a lot has been said about that. We'll go into some detail about that. We also believe that when we go live on the right side, going live means analog system across the country, that the all entities should be involved in the citizen support, on-the-ground citizen support, as discussed yesterday, and believe that we have a role to play there in support of the national project. Where, in general, we are, the in terms of the contribution links connecting to broadcasters, as for example, ETV said, they are connecting to us sometime next year in the first quarter of the calendar year. The building of the transmission network, we are on track. The issue of set-top box control is currently behind schedule, as discussed yesterday. We believe that the issue of on-ground citizen support is also slightly behind schedule. I think that was discussed yesterday. And most important is the contrast between the different entities, particularly with respect to CENTEC, is the contrast between CENTEC and the broadcasters. That is certainly behind schedule. We believe that it's important to complete those contracts so that everybody can plan. We do understand that broadcasters need a sense of certainty about the transmission tariffs in order to complete their business plans, again, as stated by ETV. In terms of what we actually do ourselves, is that we thought it was important to unpack that block that is called the transmitter network. What does it take? We are building new links to broadcasters. We are building new multiplexing facilities. These are one single unit sitting at Honeyju in Johannesburg. We would be implementing set-top box control as an upgrade of an existing facility. We are upgrading our satellite uplink facilities, the ones that one sees in Honeyju, the dishes. We are getting more satellite space and also optimizing that so that we get better cost efficiency out of that. And at every 183 sites across the country, we do a number of things there, also sometimes putting new things and also sometimes upgrading. In terms of the status of those activities, as I said, the set-top box control is actually yellow because of the things that have been mentioned yesterday. The rest of the elements are green, they are on track. And the ones that are under specific risk management, issues of security, We are putting a lot more equipment. There's a lot more content that we have been needing to protect, so we are beefing up our security. We are also beefing up the monitoring environment around the entire broadcasting system. We are having to create new buildings across the country. Sometimes some of the buildings would be, some of the equipment would be in containers, so we are creating a building. So that is an area that is under, those are areas that are under risk management. Moving on to page 12, this section kind of reflects on what we said last year when we were here Chairperson in September, to provide a context of how far we've moved over the last 12 to 14 months or so.
No, what a relief, the next slide. I thought we were going to see boxes until you finish.
Thank you. September last year, we came and said that we had set our target. Again, we're just looking at population coverage at the point at 74%, and that we'd also identified during the first quarter of the financial year certain challenges within our supply chain. And we promised that at a minimum we'd do 60% coverage. We also further said that the main activities would be the conversion of the existing DVB-T system to DVB-T2, and we also highlighted a number of macro activities, including that we wanted to have finalized the DTT tariff model by the for the period since September at the end of the financial year. That being again important for all stakeholders for their planning. We submitted a number of issues that we thought were a source of uncertainty, either at a strategic level or at an operational level, obviously particularly to the extent that they affect citizens. We confirmed that the broadcasters had to agree on transmission parameters, and yesterday I think we heard that ETV and MNET had passed through the stage. We confirmed that there would have to be work to be done on set-top box control, and we raised a bit of a red flag there. We also looked at the raised some red flags around the coverage requirements for community broadcasters. More operationally, there was the issue of rules of operation. I think, again, ETV gave a brief about the progress that has been made. In Peter Marisbeck, we noted that the Civil Aviation Authority requested the mask to go down, but that would affect the services for citizens there. And similarly, something that had to do with the use of spectrum by multi-dwelling units or multi-tenant units, that those would be affected, and we saw that during the conversion to T2 for service provided by MNET, but we did work with MNET to solve those specific problems, and we have a program to do so moving forward. And we also noted the cable television community TV frequency issues that are still a source of concern. We presented a rollout map that was based on trying to maximize incremental population coverage. And again, we have since, we noted that rollout map did not make proper considerations for urban and rural populations. And that it also did not allow for optimization of resources for people outside of CENTEC. And in our corporate plan, again, we changed that. We noted that the community broadcast has not been formally included in the DTT process. We said that the draft DTT regulations again have accommodated community broadcasters, existing community broadcasters. So that was done. But we also noted that there were provinces where there were no community broadcasters, and that that could result in unused capacity that we would have to recover somehow in our tariffs. For now, the principle is that we charge broadcasters what they use, and so the cost of that unused capacity would have to reside with CENTEC unless that capacity was allocated to broadcasters in those areas, and that's specifically 10% of the Max 1 capacity. Again, applies to 10% of the Max 2 capacity. And we noted the work that would be done in Northern Cape in support of the minister for the launch, which happened successfully. Quite importantly, when we presented the budget, we noted that there was a shortfall in the funding for the capital expenditure of about 294 million and a shortfall of about 146 million for dual elimination support under operating expenditure. In the corporate end, we noted that
CEO,
yes,
corporate office, I don't want the honorable thing to ask you. Which day is 00 October 22?
It's supposed to be the 2nd and the 3rd of October, Chair. Apologies. 2nd and 3rd of October 22. Mm-hmm. In our corporate plan, we also noted that the minister had cautioned that the 2013 target for analog switch off would most likely not be achieved, and minister noted a couple of other dependencies, including the need to amend the policy, the issue around set-top box, the ownership of the scheme, and so on, and then more importantly, the availability of set-top boxes in the market. In our corporate plan, we then, on the basis between when we're here and now, we then submitted a different type of rollout plan, which was provincial based, where we said in the first phase we'll try and complete rollout on a provincial basis in state, in Mbopo, in Mpumalanga, and KZN. And in that way, again, we can allow people to, once we've done a rollout in the province, all entities that are involved in logistics and citizen support in set-top boxes can then congregate on that province to ensure that people in the province migrate en masse as quickly as possible. And that we put in our corporate plan. And then we also showed, again, how the project then moves in the next financial year into Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Northwest, and then Northern Cape. We also maintain that where there is no terrestrial coverage, satellite will be used. In summary, where progress since the last time we're here, everything has moved, certain things have been completed. Our supply chain issues have been dealt with. We are almost complete with all the procurement issues on the DTT project. The only issue that have kind of regressed are the issues around set-top box control, as mentioned yesterday, and also a practical issue for a community broadcaster cable TV on frequency change, which we believe should be solved in the short term with the work that's been done at JSEC and also Council at ICASA. Where we are, we certainly at we finished the financial year at 60% of population coverage, which translates into about 2% or so geographic coverage. We and we also have information about on page 27 about where that coverage is and where the sites providing that coverage are. Since the financial year, the most of the work in the first two quarters of the year were to prepare, as I said, all the procurement work, all the logistics, in order to move our population coverage, our provincial migration, to complete the provincial migration in Free State, in the Mbopo, Mpumalanga, and KZN. And now we've started actually doing the conversion. We're focusing in Free State now. We will be finished with the Free State in at the end of December, for sure, complete migration in Free State. And then in the last quarter, we'll have completed the migration in the rest of the provinces I mentioned, and we are certainly on track there. With regard to customer engagement, customers being the broadcasters, we finalized the DTT tariff model, which as expected is cost-based. We then went around to, as mentioned again by ETV yesterday, we had some sessions with the broadcasters presenting the tariff model. We certainly specifically did not leave the model or the detail with them. And we kind of stopped that discussion pending finalization of one of the VCT regulations and two of the market review on the wholesale broadcast transmission service market that ICASA, the regulator, has started in the beginning of the year. We believe that its completion of that process is quite important for us to complete and start the detailed work of tariffs with our customers. We also, during the discussions with the customers on tariffs, we identified a number of issues, including how to treat the situation where broadcasters share physical infrastructure amongst, but they don't have the same coverage obligation. So we'll show now the implications of that. We said it's a regulatory issue. Fundamentally, it is not something the center can solve on its own, and we'll push that to the regulator. I believe that it will be sorted out by the regulator together with the industry. It is important we have to solve it in the very short term. Just in terms of what we are doing on page 21, again, we maintain that the benefits of DTT, particularly for the public broadcaster, are that all the television services will have a similar coverage, similar to SABC2. Specifically, if you look at SABC3, SABC will move from just 104 sites to 183 sites, almost a 70% increase in population coverage, and a 109% increase in geographic coverage. And that will apply to all SABC services. And that is continuing. Also, it's important that when we demonstrated the proof of concept in Geita and Mzulimusi and Kimberley, it was quite important, it was quite enlightening to see the reaction of people when it became clear that all the SABC radio services would be available on their television. So we could demonstrate, for example, Metro being available for the first time in Kimberley. Really exciting for the people. On the issue of max sharing, we thought it's important to show the gravity of the problem that we're facing. On the first slide, our picture there, that's BTV, based on, in red, the current analog coverage, and in blue, what if what the coverage would be if the broadcasters were sharing sites and maximizing the sharing of sites. So, meaning that if one broadcaster is at a site, then the other broadcaster would follow. So ETV sites would move from 95 to 102, with the seven sites being sites where currently Mnet is and ETV is not. Right? So the size increased from 95 to 102. Mnet, on the other hand, their size would increase from 58 to 102. The geographic coverage ETV increased from 35% by 35%, and Mnet coverage would increase by 254%. Right? And then what we show is if we were looking at it purely from a center point of view and said that if we put a transmitter at a site and we can recover, say, 60% of the cost of that transmitter because it's only Mnet there, or 40% of the cost of the transmitter, or 50% of the cost of the transmitter because Mnet is, ETV is only there, and we only put sites where they converge, then we only have 61 sites. On second multiplexer, which means it's very reduced coverage for that second multiplexer. That means the sites that are not there are sites where only one of them is there. And we recognize that it's a problem for Centec. If we do that, Centec will completely undercover on its cost, including operating costs. Even if one argues that the money for CapEx was given by government, we still have operating costs that we have to recover and under-recover or broadcasters will sue if we try to make them pay for things that they're not using, and we wouldn't want to go there.
They are good in suing.
Stop. No, it's fine. and with one another, what we did and shared with the broadcasters was the tariff model, and again, it's cost-based. It's based on recovery of the return investment on assets. We don't want to be able to come into the national fiscal to ask for money to do things, so we have to recover or we have to generate a return on investment so that we can do things for the industry independent of government. We have to recover our operating costs, depreciation, personal costs, manpower costs, energy costs, and that is the model that we're looking at. What this model then tells us to do is to, in the interest of the industry, to then work on the efficiency of our assets and the efficiency of our operations as a way to bring the cost down. The model, if one looks at it also, embedded in that model is also a economies of scale. The more we do on the existing assets, the lower the prices come. So we're very keen in the interest of the current broadcasters or the future broadcasters to have more broadcasters in the space. With respect to set-top box on top, we do have some detail here, but it has been covered quite in detail. We note that there are elements of set-top box control are defined in policy. There are still elements that are defined in the second edition of the SABS standard. And there's an element in the SABS standard, for example, that talk about the requirements for set-top box control specification specifically for government subsidized bodies. And yesterday, I think, and also specifically the on the matter of the security requirement for set-top boxes, there is a statement there that says that the manufacturer of the boxes will have to get the specifications from future broadcasters. But I think yesterday, without dwelling into too much detail, a roadmap was kind of suggested by the department. We believe that there would be a need to clarify certain contradictory statements in the standard document to be able to clear everything and make sure that the industry is not subject to another need for clarity from the court in the future. There is some grey areas in the standard document that we need to be clarified. without going into too much detail, I'm surprised to say that the work that we are doing on set-top control is really an upgrade of the existing conditional access system that we are already using for internal business of Centec and also for the analog system, both in linking and also direct to home satellite. And we have some information there just for each other questions about what exactly are we doing when we say we are upgrading the existing system to provide set-top box control. So we won't go into too much detail about on those boxes.
Go back to the slide. You guys missed the Roy Kruger with that slide. I'm telling you, in trouble. But you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We do share the concern of the committee and I think everybody else just presented around citizen support. And just looking at some data, we have 12 million TV owning households, about 4 million of those already have are familiar with the kind of complexity that will be introduced into homes by DTT, that is a set-top box and so on and so forth. That means that 8 million households would need to deal with the slightly more complex environment in our homes. And we feel that, yes, in terms of citizen support, one has to look at home migration as a specific topic. And we try to illustrate the situation facing our homes. Currently, 4 television panels, one television set, that's probably that where the content or the quality fades away, as opposed to in this way, it's either there or not there. So right now when, for example, the picture is not good, we ask the aerial, one can say, move the aerial a little bit in digital. When the system doesn't work, when you're on the edge of coverage, the system may just drop and not give you anything. So people have to get used to how to manage signal quality issues. Also, you know, people are working on one power cable for the television, one remote control. Sometimes there's no remote control for switch channels of the television itself. And the home migration then says you add a new device in the set-top box, you add another new device in remote control. You're now dealing with a number, additional number of channels. You may need, if you had an indoor antenna, or area, you may need an outdoor area. You have 2 power cables, so if you are using an unoptimized power source, you may need to change that. And that has happened. And this situation that we show in terms of home migration is new for 8 million households. And saying that, and that's the context under which we support the department in terms of providing citizens support for content, providing citizens support on logistics, and also providing citizen support on technical methods, including technical methods in the homes and technical methods around the homes. For example, for an installer coming in, where and what from a, if you look at the link between logistics and technical, if you're given a location, an address, a location indicator, the question is where is the nearest post office? Where are the doses installed? Have they been accredited? Where is the nearest place where I can go and get my voucher? Is it ready? Is the signal ready? The installer, which Syntec tower should I be putting this in? Do I need a new aerial? If I need a new aerial, what are the other? All that information should be provided upfront to the entire ecosystem. And we certainly share the feelings of the honorable members on the need to put a lot more effort into this area of the project. And in terms of funding, last time we were here, we said we were underfunded on CAPEX. Happy to say that our CAPEX has been dealt with by National Treasury. We are fully funded on the capital project now. What we said to National Treasury is that there was an allocation of 172 million in the financial year 2015-2016. We will be complete with the migration on the network by December 2015, complete migration from the Syntec side, December 2015. So we've asked National Treasury to pull in that allocation of 2015-2016 CAPEX into the...
How did you get it right? Everyone who presented here has got a problem with National Treasury, like the first one. How did you get it right?
First one, let me call it, it's on CAPEX, yes. Yeah.
How did you get it right? Everyone has said National Treasury does not buy in anything. How did you get it right?
Yes. I think the issues are also slightly different. I mean, it's been a scale problem. For the public broadcast, I mean, the SABC, as we had yesterday, is now of magnitude more. Our capital requirements over the years maximized at about 1.5 billion. The SABC's request is 6 billion. So that's a slightly different discussion that I'm having with the country, similar to USAFA or the department on the issue of the top boxes. We're talking about 2 billion or 3 billion or so and so forth. So I think there's a slight difference in the issues under discussion. We're still working with National Treasury on dual illumination funding. That is a bit of a challenge for everybody because every time the project gets delayed, we are already dual illuminating in terms of, even if the formal dual illumination starts with a pronouncement now in terms of the policy by the minister, we are very exposed essentially. Right now, at every site, when we say we are done, we will have an analog system and a digital system. The digital system is starting to care cost. And so, even before the formal pronouncement of dual illumination, Syntec is dually illuminating right now, and we care cost. So it's in our interest to bring the project in. We know that there's a risk that at some point, they say, we are not giving any more money for dual illumination. And we know that dual illumination is not much to Syntec per se. It's actually not much to Syntec. It's a concept of supporting the industry so that the broadcasters don't get, or the industry doesn't get charged when there is no additional value being created. So we're very mindful of that. We're quite certain that having told National Treasury that we are not going to ask them for any more cover, that there will be continuation of dual illumination at least until June 2015. But we're not certain afterwards. We previously mentioned, I think we submitted a document to in Parliament, the LCOP, about cost of set-top box control, and we've since then revised that. We've put a lot of things in it that actually had nothing to do with set-top box control. The capital requirements for set-top box control are around 1.2 million, and then the direct operating costs are about 3.2 million year in, year out. The question that we have is if set-top box control is going to support boxes, which are government subsidized boxes, physical security that the service provided to the owners of the box. If, on the other hand, if the service that is provided to broadcasters, in terms of probably a different interpretation of it, then it's something that we'll be dealing with broadcasters on. And I think once we have a clarity on what it is, who is the beneficiary of the service, then we'll deal with the matters. But certainly, the marginal cost to Syntec on that, as will be shown up in tariffs, if any, will be very, very limited. In terms of the moving forward, where we are going, we do have a project plan, a complete project plan. You can see the lines there move from 1 to about 2009. And we've not shown the detail of that. We've just shown that, in fact, we are going to be the project plan in terms of promises, and specifically that we will be the Q4 on the right side is Q4 of the calendar year. on that side of the finance side, so that's the January to March period. And so that will be completed, the provinces as stated by that period. And also, just for information, we thought that was important as we're coming to the committee to understand, again, per province, where are we putting the, where are the sites, and what are the statistics about each province in terms of population coverage, geographic coverage, and so on and so forth. So on page 48, we give that information for the government state. Page 49 for Mpumalanga and KZN. And also on page 50,
I can't put massage with Mpumalanga. You can't put Mpumalanga massage. That was the first one.
And also page 50, we show a different summary of same information. And then moving on page, you'll see that it moves from page 50 to page 123. On the slide, what is hidden is a lot of detailed dashboards on the project plan. We never submitted those, but they're always available to provide clarity on the project plan. We've taken each site in terms of the blocks that we showed earlier, mechanical work, electrical work, electronics work. We provide a dashboard on each and every item per farm. You can certainly show how we are then the tool that we've developed for running the project internally. Moving forward on shareholder engagement, we do acknowledge that there's been there is a delay now and a critical one on matters of tariffs. We will be engaging with the CASA to see how we can particularly finalise the inquiry into the market structure for wholesale broadcaster and transmission services. That's a critical component, and that's the one that if even if the regulations are complete, if that is not complete, we then don't know the regulatory framework for such. And I think there's we know that that is about to complete, and that process is about to complete. Certainly we become, there's confirmation even this morning about the need to complete it fairly quickly, and that it's also possible to do so. So we'll be supporting ICASA on that. And from then on, we will then engage the broadcasters, go through the tariffs, go through the numbers, as ETV said we promise them to do. That will also allow us to finalize our own business plan, long-term business plan, and also allow the broadcast to do so. And then hopefully complete the commercial offers, the contract, the service level agreements for the between us and the broadcasters. We'd like to note that the community television is still something I think that has to be worked on. We just wanted to highlight that the current coverage regulations are for community broadcasting to be on the same license conditions that they have right now could result in unused spectrum in areas where the community broadcasts don't exist right now and where they may not be viable to have standalone community television broadcasts, particularly given really the costs of the digital environment. And again, we believe that as we engage with the CASA on the tariff structure and so on, and the input cost to this, we'll get some help. And we've made submissions in terms of the draft regulations on how to deal with this matter. And again, as you said, the issue applies to both the 10% on Max 1. That is for community broadcasting or public broadcasting in general, and in community broadcasting. And also where I am is on page 56. So that the specific form of community broadcasting earlier is on the 10%, how to optimize the use of spectrum for that 10% for community broadcasting. And again, that's part of the regulations. We've made our inputs to the regulator. The second issue is the 10% on Max 2 for test purposes. The question for us is how do we recover, if it's for testing? Can we charge people for using that? If not, we'll then be under-recovering on that. And we do remember the issue of Santec when it does not answer under the code order to come to Parliament to the same issue. The last issue is, I mean, again, that's something for we'll put in our documents to the regulator.
And is in time, I'm not going to give you any money.
Yes. It's also the areas where MNET and ETV may not want to be at. So it's, we will not deploy there, but it's unused spectrum. So those are other areas where on page 32, the body of essentially are the white areas in the map there, where currently there is no coverage of either ETV or MNET. The question is, there is some spectrum there that could probably be used in one or another. That we input that. It again, as you said, it's in our interest to see many broadcasters and possibly in the industry.
Go
ahead. And for the process, the council process. Then moving on, we've also highlighted some risks, some major risks facing us ahead. The first one, the exchange rate risk. It was that affects both our capital expenditure and certainly our operating expenditure to the extent that our OPEX, this is page 58. And we've highlighted exchange rate as a risk. We've highlighted tariffs for community broadcasting as a risk. Dual illumination as a very high risk. And then the regulatory and policy environment as a risk, but it's also considered under management. And thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, members.
Thanks, CEO, from Suntech Chapter. As a member, I don't enjoy the same thing as like Utatum Mugan and Ugan. We are still young.
Yeah, that's. I don't watch it. No comment. Well, that's our presentation, Honorable Committee. We will be taking questions that off. Thank you.
Question, member? CEO, now, target to chairperson from the LABA. And as well, and
Honorable Soma, Sin, Sneman, Drogen, Kedian, Sain, Morotua, if she decides to be Soma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you so much for the presentation, Center. Probably, Chair, without being requested to respond. Sorry? No, I am.
Okay.
I am. That's why it's right. Thank you, Chair, and also thank you, Center, for the presentation. Probably, Chair, let me deal with the other issue that why probably CenTech do get a positive ear from Treasury. I think it was just from the NDA report, so it tells you why, whatever reasons the CEO has said, but in terms of your supply chain and so forth. But that's not the issue. The issue that, Chair, I would like to be enlightened here or have a better understanding in terms of slide 10, under high risk level. If then we're unable to mitigate the risk as indicated, what does it mean in terms of the progress of the project? flowing from DOC and also SABC presentation that you received yesterday, because they're all linked with one project at the end of the day. But in terms of the center, I'd like to know that. Slide 12, Chair, or page 12, under macro activities. Have we finalized the DTT tariff, or we are talking about your own tariffs as a center? Okay. Although I do take note of a slide of page 33, which is driven by invest cost recovery. That's what you said. So I'm leaving that question, bearing in mind that in slide 33, that's what you said in terms of invested cost recovery model that you are using. Flowing from that, Chair, my third question would be, how do you then charge the TV broadcasters who also carry the other quality, or use it very carefully, community television broadcasters, as was said yesterday, and also noting Isaka report that they gave us yesterday in terms of the limitation of the act and so forth and so forth. How do you then achieve that in terms of recovering your cost in terms of the tariffs? Or you assume that let me not give you the assumption. For Chair, slide 26. What benefit does the rural in particular, in terms of your slide 26, will benefit with the picture presented in terms of the coverage? Because they are also part of the country, or we are only concentrating in the urban areas or affluent areas in terms of the infrastructure investment. Which I must say from KZNJ, without representing Mpumalanga now from my side, is that I'm not quite impressed with the picture or the status of PNB. Hopefully, one of the good days it will be finalized, noting the reasons that have been given in terms of the delay. Just on a lighter note that you don't need to respond to that. Fifth, Chair, because I just want to finish my question so that I can come back, if I'm allowed to do so. Slide 41. Does this mean that I will need to have two aerials, or I need to replace the existing aerial that I have? I'm referring to the people who are using the normal areas, like people from rural areas, from informal settlement that have got electricity, also have got TV. What does it mean in terms of the burden, in terms of the size of the house, the structure itself? Because sometimes you find these areas also, you can't put them out, like even the inner one, it also has got challenges in terms of the picture. Also, Chair, which is the last one, which is linked to this one, is the issue of, with the picture that you have given us, I'm still on slide 41. I'm just ending up on the actual question in terms of the weight and the size of the areas, and also the inside house one and outside one in terms of the rural areas and informal settlement in particular. I'm not so worried about the affluent areas in terms of that, because their buildings are very much in terms of the town planning schemes are good, inverted commas though. Because the way you have presented it means that we are ready, as Mr. Kruger said yesterday, technically so speaking. Is it then the fact that the delay squarely lies on the readiness of sector boxes, all the supply value chain in terms of what it takes to have sector boxes, notwithstanding what the ETV is challenging the department on? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Kruger, you will make your mark.
Whatever we'll see.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question, first question is on page 32. Were we talking about the discussions between MNET and ETV to share facilities, as it were? You said that here you hope that this resolution, or you said that this resolution might require regulatory intervention. What is the status of that? Do we need new regulations, or are we all is there some way around that? Because obviously regulations take a lot of time. Then page 35, just basically for my own understanding here, the third bullet point, you said that the decoder, the set-top box manufacturers, are responsible for implementing security requirements for the free-to-air broadcasting licenses. Does it mean that assuming there's going to be a lot more free-to-air broadcasters that are going to come into our lives over years, does that mean that each time a new free-to-air broadcaster comes in, that there needs to be a reset or something? Can you just explain that? Because it would seem, I don't understand whether, if they come out of the factory, what happens with the set requirements in them? What happens 4 years down the line when we have some more broadcasters? Your application to Treasury for $172 million, any indications of whether they're thinking favorably about that? Then page 55, when you talk about the spectrum that will not be taken up by community broadcasters, and that this should perhaps lapse to or assign to any interested regional broadcaster. Now, could that space also be used perhaps locally by a cell phone company to have some kind of local e-government rollout program in that area? Does it have to necessarily be what I assume is a conventional broadcaster here? Can some other person who uses spectrum have that? And then your risk profile, no, sorry, I think you covered that well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just one question. On slide 41, I know my colleague already talked about the aerial. I'm not clear about my colleague's question, but the aerial that I can see is that the first house, they've got old aerials, and then the second block with the new kind of aerial that will be installed. I want to know all the analog TVs. Do they require in the new aerials when the installations will be done? Will it be a separate cost? 70% as reported to us, and then because they said that 100% will be subsidized for the installation, but then has the new aerial then come with the set-up box? Do we need to buy another aerial? And then, if I bought a TV 10 years ago, and another person had bought the TV 5 years ago, do they then require then to have these aerials, the new aerials under the new center box? Thank you.
Shima? No, thanks, Jay. I think one comment I'd like to make, and that relates to the presentation where it talks about some of the delays that have been experienced because of the delays on the ICASA side. Now I know that was addressed yesterday, and we spoke about that yesterday, but I think it again just highlights that one particular stakeholder or player in the whole DTT migration process is delayed. It has a ripple effect on many others as well. And I think what this really again highlights the need for is that there's got to be close cooperation and close working together and close communication. Because in one particular entity, people may be very relaxed and just, cruising along, but not realizing the major impact it's having on somebody else. And I thought I should just raise that I think while everybody is sitting here, I think the message we've got to get out, it has got to be close cooperation. And it can't just be business as usual, each person is doing their own thing in their own time. That's the comment that I want to make. Just my only other question that I really have, it relates to pages 31 and 32. like to get some clarity on this, really, because if I look at, really, in particular, page 31, you've got the maps there, and the red, if I read this correctly, is highlights where it is analog signal distribution, and then the blue highlights where there's the digital signal distribution. Am I correct in reading that? Now, if I look at that, and if I also look at the slide on page 32 again, you know, you've got the red and then you've got the blue. But it seems to me, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly, but the impression I get is that you still have quite a long way to go in ensuring that the country as a whole is geared up and is fully covered in terms of the digital signal distribution, if I read correctly. I mean, if you look at page 31, there seems to be a serious variance in terms of the signal distribution. So if you look at for SABC1, and I'd like to get some clarity as to where these differences come in, because SABC1, if you look at that, it's mainly just analog, with a smackering here and there of a bit of digital. But if you look at SABC3, there seems to be a lot more signal distribution in terms of digital distribution than in terms of analog. So I'd like to get an understanding through the three different channels. Why is this discrepancy? I'd like to just understand it. But I think, again, the point that I want to highlight, I think it shows us there's still a long way to go if I'm reading these maps correctly. And it then brings me to my question, that is there a national coverage plan? Because in your presentation, you've got different slides in there, but I don't get a sense of a plan that says, here's the map, this is the plan, this is the areas we intend to cover. Thank you.
Thank you. We're living dangerous, Keelan.
Thank you.
Dangerous in terms of our tea, we're on a highway road. And that's where the Chinese story happened in this community. You may proceed.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, just also a comment about the presentation. I think we would, from my side, I'd certainly like to say thank you for the presentation. What is the giving us...
If the thank you comes from you, it means a lot. You may proceed.
If I look at the project plan, it creates, it installs conflict that you know what must happen. It's not necessarily happening, but at least, you know, there's a control there. And if it is not happening, it's because of lack of funds or other sort of obstacles on the road. So from this perspective, I have to comment on that. And I think, Chair, with great respect, I think this also had an impact on when Treasury agrees to make a special provision, especially when it comes to capital expenditure. I think they certainly look at how an institution is also sort of managed very closely. But be that as it may, I would like to go to the coverage issue again. Now, Honourable Schneeman in front of me, he touched on that. I looked at that page, but I also looked at page 50. And I know our chairperson has on many occasions said he doesn't want to hear about population coverage only, he wants to hear about geographic coverage. If we look at the pictures and if we look at the map, I need to just say that if we look at the benefits that we will have as a country all over, access to educational programs and the support for the education sector that I do believe we can get through an effective etc. I have to express concern about the two provinces at the bottom on page 50. And that is, in the one respect, it is not a populous province, Northern Cape, we all know. It's a huge province geographically, but it's thinly spread in terms of population, and that obviously makes it more difficult. But if we look at that, and if we look at the planned station and the remaining stations, it seems that we're not going to go any further in the Northern Cape.
on the 80% population coverage rollout. Similarly, on the Eastern Cape, we're just running on half the stations. And if we look at the map, then it clearly shows huge areas, rural areas. It is going to be no coverage. So in one of the slides, you did mention that what we see now is already project planning that emanates from 2006. But what intervention can be made? Well, possibly also with further support from Treasury. But how soon? Is there any delay in time that is necessary, or is it only a financial matter that is inhibiting a further and a rollout of DTT sooner than the current projected rollout? Is it only a matter of that, or is it also capacity? Number of engineers, you know, will it have other impact on CENTIC as an institution? Or is it only the financial support that you would require there? Possibly capital expenditure as well as, you know, operational expenditure. What impact will it have? And then lastly, one of the issues that were in fact regarded as countries who migrated to DTT as having a significant impact is what are the benefits for people? Why, you know, what attracts them to moving to set-up boxes, etc.? To be part of the enthusiasm about digital migration. It is new offerings as well. Now, if the LABC and other programs can come in to make it possible for youngsters, for little kiddies at home, etc., you know, that is why it is necessary to also reach the rural areas where people don't have the benefit of access to all public sort of television, etc. And how can we put some additional sort of support in that area? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable thing, main thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me first of all just air my voice to the sentiments expressed by the Honourable Gillian and others regarding the feeling of confidence, the feeling that CENTIC is in the starting blocks ready to go when a gun is fired. And since the questions have all been asked, Chairperson, I'm going to ask everybody to go to slides 37 and 38 and ask the if you're there, and ask to take them through item by item. That was on a lighter note. I've got a few questions. The coverage, concerns about the coverage expressed by the Honourable Schneeman and Killian. I've got a note here, and it is a concern, if I heard correctly. You indicated in March last year that, or rather when you were here in September, that your coverage was 60% in March this year, or you'd reach 60%. My note says, and you must have said it or indicated it in the slides, I don't have slide numbers here, but then in November now, currently, you're at 63%, is that correct? Which would then indicate, and I presume this is geographical now, that you haven't really progressed that much since March, and this is where the concern expressed by my colleagues come in. Then you also mentioned that you're going to have to find or construct new buildings in some instances, and I heard the word risk attached to that, but I'm not sure what the risk is going to be. Is it going to be the funding for these new buildings, or what exactly is the risk going to be? Then I picked up under some of your financial figures, you had an annual figure for the STB maintenance costs. I'd like to know on how many sets, how many STDs are you budgeting that amount for? And lastly, you made mention of the unused spectrum by community broadcasters, but possibly also by broadcasters like ETV and MNET. Now, the unused spectrum is going to become a very, it's a premium commodity. We're going to need to find a way through yourselves and ICASA probably and the regulations whereby we don't find ourselves in situations where it's been allocated and not being used, although I would imagine once it's allocated, there's going to be a tariff that goes with it. So it's going to be in the interest of the broadcaster that was got the allocation to, in fact, make use of it. But it's evident that, the entire project hinges at this particular point around regulation, this story about the FTB boxes, and then obviously the tariffs as well. And I would really urge all the role players, but in particular DOC and ICASA, that we need to get finalization on this very, very soon. It's going to throw the entire project out of kilter with associated costs down the line. So really, Chairperson, in closing, my plea is that everybody works together, and again, the Honourable Schneeman indicated, but in particular, that those three issues need to get some sort of clarity in the foreseeable future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Maruto.
I don't know whether it's you are building a cadence that I must be the last one. Yes, two of us. With nevertheless, a person. Yeah. You see, Chairperson, what I've discovered here is that what has been said by my colleagues here. Centec has really shown us that there's light in the time tunnel. And I think from what we've heard, it is important that Treasury and ICASA and also DOC should deal with the challenges that have been highlighted here. I'm just worried about the risk management, the page 58, where it says the community broadcaster tariff that is going to affect community broadcasters. And the broadcasting model can be enabled analog switch off environment when we are switching off. What does it mean? Yesterday we spoke about the necessity to switch off and those people who will be still using analog, what is going to happen to them? And here to me it is a typical example of what we were talking about yesterday. If we don't address this, and we cannot call ourselves successful, maybe these are the areas that DOC and everyone should focus on, especially DOC. And also I'm worried about but at least the capital expenditure, Treasury has shown interest in that. And the issue of dual illumination. It says here, it is unclear that and the funding for this period has not been finalized. It's on page 58 on the risk management. Am I not audible enough? Understand. Yeah. And the one on regulatory and policy, it's quite clear that you see how it is written here, there's not been finalization of DDT migration with the ground frequency regulation to date. And this speaks to ICASA, the whole thing. And I don't remember us talking about this yesterday when ICASA was in the hot seat. So I would like, Chairperson, for us to get maybe responses either by sending us a response, because we are not going to go back. It's only a DOC that, I mean, a, yes, DOC that is going to come back. Because I think we needed to understand from here how ICASA and DOC will be addressing this risk. I'm just concerned about those areas. And then from reading my page 16, where it speaks about the multi-purpose one that would lie unused unless otherwise. What does that otherwise mean? Because I think a syntax should allow us really to understand what they know. If they speak such language, what unless otherwise. They must explain exactly what they mean about that. Because we are here to assist and we have the same interest as the stakeholders there. And we have the same interest that they have, and more so that we have been deployed here by the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are the questions, Santak. But we'll break for tea. But before we break, does anyone know exactly how many households who are owning TV in the country? There's quite a number of figures that totally depends on speaking. SABC 11 million, Centec 12 million, M's is also saying other things. What's exactly the number? Do anyone know, or we just throw it around? What seems to be a number which is coming. I'm just interested to know probably. Well, if someone knows, maybe must help us to try to understand that. I'm sure members have covered all the questions. Probably it's just that we must go for probably the issue of tea. I think the responses will cover the question. But although there are key issues there which we need to understand clearly, what does that mean, and so on. Because I don't forget, unless we've done it when I was not here, the issue of interoperability of yesterday, I will never forget. I still remember. Let's pray for tea. 10 minutes it will take. 10 minutes we continue.